On this special episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I give my takes and review the hiring of Lamont Paris as head basketball coach at the University of South Carolina. Okay, here we go. Welcome to a special ad hoc one-off episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, and normally I try to say I'm going to keep everything from 1801 to 2001, but with this episode, I don't know. I just had to get on the airwaves here, had to start recording, and I'm going to give my thoughts, and we'll see how long or short this is going to be, because the big news in Gamecock country is that we have a new basketball coach, people. Lamont Paris has been hired as the new basketball coach for the University of South Carolina. A new era, a new chapter, a new tenure, whatever you want to call it, is underway. And there we have it, folks. There we go. That's it. Now, there is a whole heck of a lot to this story. And whether you've been following it from afar or from close, I think it's fair to assume that you know that there was some drama in this search, and this search had twists and turns, and I touched a little bit on it in one of the episodes there. Didn't dive too deep into the drama that was this search because there was just really too much to unpack here. So I'm going to look at this spiel that I'm going to go on here into two parts here. There's the how and the who of this coaching search. How the search was conducted, how we came to the conclusion, how it all went down, and the who. Who did we hire? Who is leading our program now? Who is the newest part of Gamecock country, Gamecock family, and in an enormous role? This is a major sport here, a sport that has become more popular and a sport that we have more expectations of than maybe in the past. So this is a big deal. So I'm going to split this thing up here into the who, and I want to start with the focus and the headline and the lead of this special episode here, talking about the who, the man who is leading our team, because that's all that matters now. We need to support this person, Lamont Paris, and welcome him with open arms. But then I am going to touch on the how, because I don't want to spend too much time in my regular episode on Friday taking away from NCAA tournament runs, from the women's, and a huge series coming up on baseball. So we're going to get it all out. We're going to put it out to the airwaves, and then we're all going to try to calm down, and we're going to see what comes of this. So first off, the who. Lamont Paris, who is he? He is now leading our basketball program. So Lamont Paris was most recently the head coach at Chattanooga. Chattanooga is a very fun word to say. And if you follow college basketball, if you've made a bracket for this year's March Madness, you probably know of Chattanooga because they were a 13 seed. They played fourth-ranked Illinois, and they gave them all that they could handle. They came just shy of a big upset, and as we heard more of this build-up into the tournament, I had heard that Chattanooga could be a team that could go on a run here. But let's give a little background for Coach Paris here. He's been the head coach of Chattanooga for five seasons now, went there in 2017, and there's no way to go around it. His first 2 years, it was a rough go at it. He had a 10-23 record and a 12-20 record, respectively, in his first 2 years. It was his first time being a head coach. I believe he was taking over a program that had some okay success, but clearly was left with a very thin roster. In fact, his first year, they had the youngest team in the country, essentially a team full of freshmen. And Lamont Paris said that he would never go back to that way again. Now, some background on him, he's from he really got his name, made his name for himself in Wisconsin, where he was under Bo Ryan and Greg Gard. He was there for like 7 or 8 years, where he was in charge of recruiting and he was an assistant coach, right? Helping scout, helping prep games. And he was very, very good there. He has gotten a lot of blessings from Greg Gard and people who have been associated with the Wisconsin basketball program, where, mind you, he was part of a team that went to a couple of Sweet 16s, two Final Fours, and a national championship. So this guy knows college basketball. But what seemed like what happened was when he went to Chattanooga, he tried to replicate what they do at Wisconsin there. And he quickly realized that he is just simply not going to have the athletes that Wisconsin has. And he's not going to be able to recruit like Wisconsin does. So he changed course. He embraced the transfer portal. He embraced JUCO players. And he changed up his style a little bit. Because then he won 20 wins. And then he won 18 wins in what was the COVID year. So had many games canceled when you look at the grand total. And then this most recent year, he won 27 games, first place in the conference, won the regular season conference title, won the conference tournament to get the automatic bid into March Madness, where they almost pulled off a huge upset. So this guy is no slouch. I want to make that very, very clear. Yes, we're going to get into the how of this, right? But it's not like we just took a flyer on some guy who had a good year. And it's not like we just, this guy finagled his way into being head coach and he lucked into a good roster. No. Coach Paris made a name for himself at Wisconsin, took on a tough job at Chattanooga, and built this program. They won 10 wins their first year. 12, 20, he progressed every year. And then what I think is most impressive is that he changed his own philosophies. At Wisco, they recruit kids, they develop them, they get them upperclassmen who know the system. He realized he couldn't do that. So he embraced JUCO players, he embraced the transfer portal, and he changed his style of play, where it's not this, they call it the swing offense, where you kind of swing the ball around and you try to find your opponent's soft points. You get guys cutting, things like that. He went more old school, worked the ball down low, get easy buckets, mid-range shots, everything like that. And it worked. That's a guy who's able to look at what he has, looks at what he has to work with, and is going to eat humble pie and say, you know what? I'm going to adjust this. That's forward thinking. When we talk about this program got stale, and when we talk about we weren't progressing, and when we talk about we needed just a new perspective on things, I think that's what I'm talking about. Someone who is not set in their ways, and someone who understands that you have to adapt, and someone who wanted to run a program a certain way, realized he was not going to be successful, and changed. And that's what I think you have to do to survive. That's just what I think a good coach does. And then I'm not just talking out of my butt here. When you look at the offensive efficiency of Chattanooga for the last 3 years, guess who they've regularly been ahead of? South Carolina. In fact, this last year, in offensive efficiency, Chattanooga ranked 33rd, and South Carolina was 290 in the whole country. Year before that, the COVID year, they were still ahead of us. The year before that, the year where Lamont Paris was starting to turn it around a little bit, they were still ahead of us. I think they were in the 70s and we were in the 170s. So you can't get fooled by points per game. And there's a lot of people out there who are saying that he doesn't run a sexy style of offense. It's a little bit more old school. And yeah, that may be true. And maybe some of us, myself included, when we didn't have anyone on our radar or we had certain people on our radar, maybe we wanted a sexier three-point shooting, run and gun, that's more of a football thing, but you get my point, type of offense. Maybe we're not going to get that, but we're going to get more efficient offense, which I think was frustrating watching this Carolina team, that sometimes we would just go minutes and minutes and entire halves sometimes with barely scoring a bucket. Feels like that's not going to be the case anymore. And on the defensive side of the ball, really not much is going to change. He runs a lot of man-to-man, mixes in a little bit of zone there, but that's what Frank Martin did. So from a viewing point of view, defensively, it's going to be somewhat similar. Hopefully, offensively, we can be better at free throws, and we're going to be better offensively efficient. Probably said that in a whack way, but so that's where we're at. And this guy has an incredible pedigree, right? He has been with some of the best coaches. He's been with an incredible program in Wisconsin, a program that in the Big Ten, you're always competing against top programs. Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa. There are good programs for basketball. Indiana, right? There's good basketball programs in the Big Ten. So he knows how to go against top competition, which you're going to get at South Carolina. So now let's talk about what he needs to do to be successful. So a couple of things in my mind. One, you have to do whatever you can to keep as much as this current roster as you can. Because I think there's talent on this roster. I mean, we won, what, 18 games? Went 500 in the SEC? Some of that was because we had some really good athletes. Guys like Jermaine Cousinard, Eric Stevenson, Keyshawn Bryant, right? If you can keep some of these guys, and maybe a couple of younger guys, Devin Carter, you know, maybe a guy like Wildens Levesque, maybe Coach Lamont can get the best out of someone like that, can use him differently. I don't know. But keep as much of the current roster as you can, because that's a foundation. But I surely expect him to go into the transfer portal and bring in a couple of guys. So maybe it's you're going into the portal and you're bringing in two or three guys. Maybe even some of your better players from Chattanooga. Maybe you realize we need to get another big, which we all feel like we do. Go and get one. He knows how to use the transfer portal well. He has seen success doing so at Chattanooga, knows the type of guys he needs. Then, of course, he needs to hit the ground recruiting. He needs to recruit this state. He needs to bring in coaches who know the Carolinas well. Right? I think he has some good knowledge in recruiting in the Ohio Valley area. That's fine. Keep doing your thing there, but let's get some guys who can help fence off Columbia and help fence off the Carolinas. We're not going to be the top recruiter in the state year after year, but we need to be competitive in it. It's going to be tough. There were some people probably who were tight in the basketball community. Maybe they wanted a guy like BJ Mackey to get the job. Maybe they feel slighted. I don't know. But he needs to start talking to high school coaches. He needs to start showing who he is as a person. From what I've read, he is a genuine, nice guy. Maybe this is what we need, just a different change, right? A different voice, a different leader there. So he needs to do that. And then we're going to see. And then, look, what does success look like for Lamont Paris? I mean, if this crowd, if this fan base was ready to support some of our top targets with going all in, we need to go all in with Lamont Paris. And from a institutional standpoint, if we were ready to go all in with other top targets, we need to do the same thing with Lamont Paris and give him every resource available. But here's the deal, right? There are some people who might not like this hire. And they're going to say, well, we're going to end up, you know, missing the tournament. Like, then what? We could have kept Frank. We're back to square one. Well, no. That's the thing. Where are we this year? We're on our couch. We missed the NIT and the NCAA tournament. Where was Chattanooga? They were in the tournament. So I'm not going to put pressure on this guy year one to deliver something that we haven't seen in 5 years and only once over the last 10. But within his first 2-3 years, let's get to the postseason. And I hate to say this, but even if you get to the NIT, that's better than we've seen the last 5 years. Even if you make the tournament once in your first four, that's a better pace than we've seen over the last 10 years, right? It might not have the greatest regular success, right? Not getting deep runs always, but if you can get to the postseason with some sort of consistency, doesn't have to be every year. I said that once already. But with some sort of consistency, that would be nice. So overall, I'm welcoming this new chapter of Gamecock basketball with open arms. It's a hire that you know, maybe he's a year or two ahead of schedule. I think if he had stayed at Chattanooga this coaching cycle, he probably would have had another good year, might have made it back to the tournament, but would have had a lot of wins, and then he would have been on a lot of people's radars. And if he had stayed for another year and continued to do pretty good, he would have been a household name. So maybe we're getting this guy on the come up. Maybe we are. He has a great basketball knowledge. He's a good coach. You know, people are getting very caught up in his overall winning percentage, 551. But his first 2 years were awful. Like, his first 2 years were not his guys, not his system that he learned. You can see that in year three, the switch flipped. So I don't necessarily think it's going to get quite that trajectory at South Carolina. We just have more talent on the roster that he can hopefully retain, and he knows how to build a roster to his liking better. But maybe year one, there is a little bit of a step back. That's the chance you take when you hire a new coach. But I fully believe that years two, three, beyond, we can at least be steady. And we'll see. Again, it's a risk anytime you hire a new coach. It's a risk. This thing could very well blow up in our face. And we'll be back here in a couple years. But in my mind, my opinion, the change was necessary. We're not going to go backwards and say we shouldn't have done that. It was necessary. We're going to jump into the how of this search in a minute. But the guy we landed on is a good basketball coach, period. He has experience in the tournament both as an assistant and as a head coach. That's two pretty good things. The administration wanted an established head coach. Maybe they didn't get the guy they wanted at first, but they got an established head coach, a guy who knows how to build a roster and win with his guys. So let's see how it goes. Welcome home, Lamont Paris. Let's go, Cox. Now, buckle up for the how of this search, and this is another Gamecock therapy session brought to you by Cox Talking Gamecocks, and I don't even know where to begin. You know, there's been a lot of hate, a lot of heat on Twitter, Instagram, whatever you use to get your Gamecock news, Reddit. There's been a lot of hate about our athletic department and Ray Tanner specifically, because this search turned into a little bit of a public crap show, right? And I'm talking about the Sean Miller saga, Matt McCann saga, where it was pretty clear and became very public that we had a number one choice. We seemed to be in the best position to secure that choice in Sean Miller. And we came up empty-handed. Very publicly came up empty-handed. And a lot of fans, including myself, are frustrated because there has been this pattern with coaching searches and Ray Tanner and the athletic department that there is this pattern of it seems like there are top candidates. We have one or two guys, really one guy that we really, really want. And then we get played. And it feels like these guys leverage our interest to get a job that they more want at another place. But they use South Carolina courting them as saying, well, hey, look, I'm wanted here. I very well could go here if you don't give me what I want. You know, I think it's clear that Sean Miller, for whatever reason, felt more comfortable at Xavier. Maybe he didn't want to take on the challenge of the SEC. Maybe he felt he could get to the big dance a little easier, more regularly at Xavier. He's familiar there. It certainly wasn't money. We could double what they were giving him. So where is the disconnect is what I'm saying. Like with Ray Tanner, you know, personally, like I don't think he's quite as awful as people say, but he's certainly not great. Like I think he's a below average athletic director, right? But some people, when you talk to him, you think he's like the devil. Like he's helped lead the charge on some cool things. And some of those things might not be recognizable to us as an everyday fan, but infrastructure for student athletes, certain decisions within the athletic department, like the extra stipend for certain GPA and things like that. You know, he's led the charge on that, helped facilitate the indoor facility, their practice facility, you know, that dorm on, you know, was it 630 Lincoln? A lot of these were backed by Ray Tanner, but where it matters is bringing in winners. you are the face of the athletic department. And yeah, if you do good things, you might get a footnote like I just did. But when things go bad on the athletic department, you're the face of the athletic department. That's your job. And you're going to get all the blame. And it might seem like that he is in over his head. And I don't know why. I don't know how this could happen, that we've seen multiple times we have strong interest in a coach. It seems we go all in for that coach and then we get burned. So whether it's Ray Tanner or maybe it's other people in the athletic department, maybe there's some other group of people who are involved in these searches or in these interview processes, but either the way we vet candidates to gauge their true interest or the way we conduct interviews themselves, there's just a disconnect. And either we're turning off candidates and they're like, no, I don't want to work for those guys, or we're gullible and we just take these guys at their word. Like, there's just something that is very, very concerning. And it's a pattern. And I don't know if we can fully trust this athletic department to consistently pick winners. Shane Beamer, some people are going to say the jury's out. I think it's a good hire, at least from a perspective of bringing faith and energy back in our football program. You know, people like to look at the Mark Kingston hire, say that that was kind of an off-the-radar choice where there are other guys available who have been proven to have sustained success. I don't know. But we went all in on Sean Miller. It felt like we were going to get him. You had multiple people reporting that there was mutual interest, that there was a lot of momentum. And then in the last minute, freaking Xavier jumps in and they get him. And it's just inexplicable that how can an SEC team lose to Xavier? It just doesn't make sense. So Ray Tanner and the athletic department, I hope they got this hire right with Lamont Paris. I'm going to be the optimist that I am. And, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, right? Like, I don't think we should hold anything against Lamont Paris. Like, maybe he was a top candidate from the jump. We just don't know that. But I hope that he comes here and he wins and he really shuts the haters up. But how we got here just doesn't feel right. And I think that's what a lot of people are frustrated with. It's not the guy we hired necessarily. It's how we got here. If it came out that it was like, yeah, we have a few guys, like Lamont Paris is among them. Instead, no, it was Sean Miller, Sean Miller, Sean Miller, Sean Miller. Is he in Columbia? No, he's not, but I swear he might be. Nope, he's going to Xavier. And then, oh, Matt McMahon at Murray State. Yes, you're our new guy. And then he goes, no, just kidding, I'm going to LSU where there's sanctions probably coming. And then it's like, okay, never mind, Lamont Paris, you're our guy. So it just seems so disorganized, and it just seems like there's not a methodical nature to the search, and it just feels like some of these other schools, like, they have an opening, they snap their fingers, and boom, they have their coach. And I don't know why that is not the case with us. Maybe it's not bad, right? Like, maybe Shane Beamer turns out to be exactly what we needed, and maybe Lamont Paris turns out to be a very solid hire, and we're getting him right as he's hitting his peak of a coach. That all might be true. But regardless, I still would like to see a semblance of organization. And I want us to get our number one guy in a situation like this. Sean Miller was there for the taking. You didn't get him. But I don't know. I don't know who he answers to, he being Ray and the athletic department. You know? I mean, that's why we do these podcasts. That's why we're on Twitter, to vent our frustration. But, like, there's serious issues. I don't know what's going on, but we need to do an internal deep dive into our process and figure out why is it that we have regularly seen coaches across different sports bail on us when we show extreme interest. You know? I mean, that's how we ended up with Muschamp. Wasn't Tom Herman, you know, he had a handshake agreement. He ditched us. I'm not even going to include Kirby because when Georgia comes around, like, that was a job Kirby wanted, right? But we ended up with our D hire, right? Muschamp, like, look how that turned out. Like, so it's, we have to figure out how we can become a true, like, apex predator in getting coaches. I don't know. I'm rambling now. But point being, the how was fudged up. We need to look at that process. But the who, I'm happy with. I am, right? Maybe he wasn't the fans' first choice, right? Maybe, like myself and others, like, we got very excited on Sean Miller. But when you take a step back and you look at this hire of Lamont Paris, statistically, offensively speaking, he has been better for the last 3 years at Chattanooga than we have been at South Carolina. He's won his conference. He's improved year over year. He knows how to leverage the transfer portal. He is willing to change his systems. He's willing. He knows how to build a roster, right? He spent some time in Chattanooga, right? He's not just this guy from the Midwest. So we have nothing else but to have faith in this guy, right? We got to give him a season two, like, tough to say, but three. You know, we got a five-year deal, right? So let's see what you can do. Honestly, like, you get to the NIT within your first 2 years, you've already given us a little bit more than we've had. You get to the big dance within your first three, man, now we're cooking. So let's see how it goes. I'm excited. Let's back this guy 100% as Gamecocks do, because Gamecocks are one big family. We can bitch and moan about the powers that be. I've always said I want this podcast to be, just think of me as a guy you're sitting next to having a beer. If anyone ever wants to just have a beer, hit me up. I'd love to have a beer, and we can bitch and moan about the administration all day. Love to talk Gamecock everything. Basketball, hockey, football, baseball. It's everything. Let's back this guy no matter what. Welcome home, Coach Paris. Let's go, Cocks.